a major winter storm strands thousands in the eastern U.S. It's still a buyer's market for biz jets. And Avstar will buy into Aircraft Charters, LLC. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, December 28th, 2010. A major East Coast storm turned airline travelers into urban campers Sunday night and Monday, with Kennedy, LaGuardia, and Newark Liberty all closed for part or all of yesterday. Hundreds of flights were canceled even at airports that remained open, like Boston Logan, providing a sometimes unwanted extension of the Christmas holidays. Many thousands of passengers have been stranded in airports, so even if your airport shows open and your flight is listed as on time, leave yourself plenty of margin to get through crowded terminals. And don't count on eating at the airport to kill time. Many airport restaurants in affected areas were having trouble getting deliveries. The pre-owned business jet inventory has shown improvement through November of this year, but market analyst JetNet says the number of available used biz jets remains stubbornly high. Business jet inventory for sale percentage shows the largest change, down 1.5 points to 15.1%, and sale transactions had the largest percentage gain, 18.7% compared to 2009. But all aircraft categories took longer to sell in 2010, ranging from 34 to 79 more days in the year-to-date comparisons. The pre-owned piston helicopter segment is the only aircraft market sector to show a decrease in sale transactions, down 8.1%. Avstar Aviation Group has signed a letter of intent to acquire a 33% interest in Aircraft Charters, LLC. Aircraft Charters is the owner of the aircraft, currently leased to and operated by Avstar's wholly-owned subsidiary, Twin Air Calypso Limited, Incorporated. The purchase is expected to close next month. The acquisition follows Avstar's model of vertical expansion. Through Aircraft Charters, Avstar will enter into the aircraft sales and leasing market, while continuing to manage, operate, and support the aircraft through Avstar's existing wholly-owned subsidiaries. The company says the aircraft charter purchase and an affiliate program announced earlier this month will allow it to further provide a total package of services to aircraft owners and operators. American Eurocopter's FAA organization delegation authorization has issued WAAS STCs for both the EC-135 and EC-145. These STCs upgrade the IFR single or dual pilot configuration and are predicated on the use of either the Garmin GNS-430W or 530W in conjunction with a type-certified display system. CEO Mark Paganini notes, quote, "This achievement further demonstrates American Eurocopter's commitment to advancing safety and bringing technology to its operators and the rotorcraft industry. We will continue to invest in innovation and state-of-the-art capabilities for our helicopters to meet the ever-evolving requirements and needs of our customers," unquote. With WAAS, operators of both types can utilize previously unavailable landing sites during inclement weather on IFR flights. Hospitals, metropolitan heliports, remotely controlled heliports, and offshore oil rigs are now more accessible in IMC. With the addition of vertical coupled guidance information, pilots can execute steep angle approaches at published runway GPS approaches and point-in-space heliports. Still ahead, Bombardier's Belfast plant will make wings for the Learjet 85. Air New Zealand takes a delivery from Boeing. And another 180 back to the airport doesn't make it. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Piperjet,
Hypersport,
Pipermatch,
Global Expansion,
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed, get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, December 28, 2010. Bombardier Aerospace says development and production of advanced composite wing skin panels and spar components for the new Learjet 85 business jet will be done in its facility in Belfast, Northern Ireland. Final assembly of the wings will take place at Bombardier's production plant in Querétaro, Mexico. The Belfast operation will produce the primary wing structures using its resin transfer infusion process, currently being developed for the C-Series aircraft's advanced composite wings in Belfast. Expanding this technology to the new Learjet 85 program will provide an opportunity to further develop key skills in the design and manufacture of advanced composite wings. VP and Belfast GM Michael Ryan explains, quote, "Given the success we have had to date with our C-Series aircraft demonstrator wing using the RTI technology, we are confident that this process can be further developed, adapted, and applied to our Learjet 85 business jet," unquote. The Learjet 85 program was launched on October 30, 2007. The 85 will be the first Bombardier jet with both fuselage and wing built primarily from carbon composites designed for type certification under U.S. Part 25. Air New Zealand welcomed the airline's first Boeing 777-300ER to its fleet at a ceremony last week at Payne Field in Everett, Washington. Air New Zealand ordered the first of five 777-300ERs in August of 2007 to complement the eight 200ERs already in its long-haul fleet. The airline intends to use the first three of its new planes to operate between Auckland, Los Angeles, and London beginning in April. Air New Zealand's 300ERs feature economy, premium economy, if that's not an oxymoron, and business premier classes. Sky couch seating, also known as cuddle class, is available in the first 10 rows of economy and will allow passengers who book three wide seat spaces to raise the footrests with a touch of a button to create a lie-flat space similar to a sofa at home. The premium economy space seats will feature a larger seat area and more room between passengers. When the seat reclines, it slides forward, preserving the personal space of the passenger sitting behind. All seats have in-seat power and USB connections, allowing passengers to connect their MP3 players with the in-flight entertainment systems. Among factors cited by Air New Zealand for choosing the 777-300ER were its 15% fuel efficiency improvements over current aircraft. Okay, note to self, when making first flight with recently purchased used aircraft engine, remember there's a reason the last guy sold it, and stay in a tight pattern near the runway. Oh, and consider carrying less than full fuel for the test flight. Oh, don't mind me, just trying to take the lesson from an NTSB preliminary report. On December 2nd in St. Augustine, Florida, a RANS S6ES had just taken on 23 gallons of 100 low-lead, ready for the first flight of a just-installed, pre-owned Rotax 912 ULS. The takeoff on 8,000-foot-long runway 31 went fine, but at 1,200 feet, the engine got anemic and developed a vibration. The pilot reports more throttle reduced the vibration and he turned back for the airport. But then the engine started vibrating severely and quit completely and could not be restarted. As the pilot tried to dead-stick it back to runway 13 with a 5-knot tailwind, he hit utility wires about 30 feet above the ground. NTSB reports the plane then rolled right, came down on a highway, and came to rest upright on a grassy area nearby. The plane was reported to have suffered substantial damage, but the pilot escaped with minor injuries. The board says Rotax will help investigators figure out what went wrong. A final report on probable cause is typically a year away. In the meantime, if I'm test flying a Coyote 2 with an engine I just bought used that's supposed to climb at 1,250 feet per minute, and I'm still not at 1,200 feet after using up an 8,000-foot runway with a 5-knot headwind, I think I'll be turning crosswind before the pavement runs out, even if that 912 is humming like the Mills Brothers. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we'll start a 4-day reprise of some of the more interesting guests of 2010. Today, an outspoken Kate Hanai of Flyers Rights comments on the early success of DOT's 3-hour rule in stopping tarmac strandings and tells it like she sees it on the real reason airlines unbundled those a la carte fees. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.